born the newborn king. Two guys watching sheep in the meadow. First one says that there are exactly 1,432 sheep there. Second guy doesn't believe him and goes to the shepherd and asks him, how many sheep do you have? Shepherd responds that he has 1,432 sheep. After an hour on another meadow, the first guy guesses the exact number of sheep again. Confused, also a little surprised, the second guy asks him, how do you count those sheep so quickly? The first guy responds, it's pretty simple. You count all legs and divide by four. I could think of a few easier ways to count sheep. By the way, if you don't think it's that funny, try to find seed cooks online. They're not that easy to find, man, really. And I'm talking about shepherds today, so let's deal with it. So here we are, church, week two of our Christmas series, The Wonder of Christmas. And today we're going to be sharing the wonder of His peace. A shepherd in biblical days was one that lived with the sheep. And so you can see when a shepherd is with the flock, all who are under the shepherd's care feel a sense of peace. When they know the shepherd's around, they understand that he's there, they feel that sense of peace in their lives. And because the shepherd lived with the shepherd knows everything about them. He knows the good sheep, he knows the bad sheep. He knows the black sheep and the white sheep. And so he understands all that. He's the one that nurtures them. He's the one that guides them and always has an eye on his sheep. That's what a shepherd does. The imagery of a shepherd, it should stir some emotions of care, provision, protection. I mean, all those things should be stirring if we understand, because a good shepherd is someone that is personally concerned with the welfare of the sheep. The wonder of Christmas includes a wondrous peace because not only was our Savior born, but with that, our good shepherd came and finally arrived. We have a good shepherd. He's not just a good father, he's a good shepherd. And this baby born in Bethlehem, in that Bethlehem sheep pen, would grow up to lead, guide, provide, protect, care for, and bring peace to all who are willing to follow this good shepherd. It's worth mentioning that the town of Bethlehem is also called the city of David. And I mention that because of all of the references to shepherds in the Bible, the once upon a time person turned king, shepherd turned king, arguably wrote the most well-known psalm that describes the shepherd. You know, it's Psalm 23. King David wrote that. And Psalm 23, it depicts God as a good shepherd who leads us towards wondrous peace as he cares for and directs us, as he gives us, you know, everything he needs as we follow him. Let's look at Psalm 23. It reads this. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, there's a lot in that passage. We're not going to look at all of it. I mean, I could talk about the oil. I just really mentioned the oil. I'm not going to mention the message except for this. The reason why they applied oil on the sheep's head was it kept the bugs away. So that's what, so we understand that. You know, it's like it helped them just protect the sheep in that way. We do it for, you know, protecting our health. And, you know, we have the healing oil that comes through the Spirit of God. And so we have all that. So that was that, but that's all you get from that. So, but this psalm is a passage of peace. A peace for all those times when life doesn't seem quite so peaceful. It's a sign of peace for the weary, and is also for those that are wandering this Christmas, that just don't understand who He is and all He has for them. And this psalm connects with people because it offers comfort to those who have endured just those difficult, sometimes, periods of our life. This psalm is one that brings comfort and peace during those moments. It's a psalm about protection and provision that moves people toward peace, the relationship with this one that is the good shepherd. David had been a shepherd from his youth. He understood the imagery. He understood the things going on. He understood that. And so the depth of what he was writing is a song, a poem to God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So right out of the gate, David calls God my shepherd. In the word shepherd, David uses the most comprehensive and intimate metaphor that has ever been used in the psalm up to this point. It is describing God's nature and character in such a way that had not been there. And interesting enough, I find it interesting that David identifies him as the good shepherd. Not as a fellow shepherd, but David just comes up as a sheep. God is the good shepherd. So David understood that. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. David was already a shepherd. He could have said, my fellow shepherdess. He doesn't do that. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm just a sheep, in other words. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. In other words, God is the one who knows everything about me. God is the one who spends time with me. God is the one who nurtures me and guides me. Always has his eye on me. He's the one that cares for me, provides me, protects me. He is the one. He is the shepherd. I am the sheep. The Lord is personally concerned for my welfare, David's saying. He's personally concerned for my welfare that in life because I am one of his sheep. And because that is David's experience, he follows that declaration of the Lord being the shepherd with this incredible statement, I shall not want. Because God is my good shepherd, he takes care of all my needs. I have plenty to eat, good water to drink, and I don't have to worry and be anxious about tomorrow. I don't have to worry about me wandering off and get lost because I've got a shepherd that's watching. And even if the big bad wolves come, and they will come, even the big bad wolves come in life and they come to try to attack me and it's all going to work out because why? My shepherding God is leading me. He's directing me. He's helping me. He has me in the palm of his hands. He has me safe and secure under his wings. He, He has my best interest at heart, and his wings of protection are surrounding me. And so David understood that I had this good shepherd that is, because he understands his job well and does what he's protecting me all throughout this process of time. He's restoring the upside down places in my life, in your life, that verse 3 refers to in Psalms. And he's turning them right side up. As he comforts me and helps me with his tangible presence. And then according to verse 4, he is with me in and through the valley of the shadow of death. So I don't have to be afraid. Because I'm not alone. I'm not alone because he's with me. He's preparing good things for me. He's preparing good things for you. He's leading me onward to experience places of peace filled with his anointing, with his goodness and his mercy and grace, both now and throughout eternity. That's the good shepherd that we serve. I'm on a walk, a journey, if you will, with the Lord, my God, my shepherd. And according to verse 5 and 6, it is places filled with favor, blessing, and a confirmation, a culmination, rather, of peace in the presence of God, my shepherd and Savior. Yes, 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 yes. Lord God is a shepherd. Therefore, I can be at peace because of him as he prepares the way for me and you in our lives. And so as we so often proclaim, especially during this time of the year, he is Emmanuel. God. And may I just simply add the Good Shepherd with us. In this part of the nature and character of God helps usher in the wonder of Christmas that is filled with peace. When God came near to the person, nearby the person of Jesus, our Good Shepherd arrived on the scene. Here he is. The Good Shepherd is how he described himself in the Gospel of John. In many Bibles, there's a little part of it before the scripture starts, and it's called the Good Shepherd. Okay, here's what John 10, 5, 1 through 6, 6 tells us. It says, Jesus talking about this imagery of sheep and a shepherd. He says this from the Passion Translation. Jesus said to the Pharisees, listen to this eternal truth. The person who sneaks over the wall to enter into the sheep pen, rather than coming through the gate, reveals himself as a thief coming to steal. But the true shepherd walks right up to the gate. And because the gatekeeper knows who he is, he opens the gate to let him in. And the sheep recognize the voice of the true shepherd, for he calls his own by name and leads them out, for they belong to him. Verse 4, and when he has brought out all the sheep, he walks ahead of them, and they will follow him, for they are familiar with his voice. But they will run away from strangers and never follow them, because they know it's the voice of the stranger. Jesus told the Pharisees this parable, even though they didn't understand a word of what he meant. Why didn't they understand? It wasn't just because he was talking to sheep. It's because they didn't understand he was the shepherd. They didn't understand he was the good shepherd that was coming. They didn't understand that. So do you know how sheep are often classified or, you know, characterized? They have been described as dumb animals. Dumb livestock. Here's a news flash. Sheep are not the most intelligent creatures. They're few short of a six-pack. They're not the most intelligent creatures. I want you to watch this video a second as we try, as they try to describe what sheep are.
If your church has been around long enough, they've probably got one of these hanging on their wall somewhere. It's a painting of a shepherd and a sheep. Well, lots of sheep. Beautiful green pastures, still waters. It's quiet, it's peaceful. It's all of that. But have you ever tried to steer a sheep? All right, time for dinner. Come back. No, it's okay. You guys, wait. We're friends. Why do you run? Hey, don't get smart aleck with me, all right? All right, someone's getting the shears. And if I'm to be honest, sheep, they're dumb. I don't know if you've heard. No, they're just not as smart as other animals. No, they're dumb. Like, walk off a cliff just because it's there. Dumb. All right, do you want me to take you out to pasture? Because I will take you out to pasture. No, no, come back. Aaron! No! Aaron! Over here! Over here! Goodness gracious, they're just stubborn. Skittish, too. Fearful of things. Oh, don't be like that. Do you want me to get the shepherd's hook? Do you want me to get the shepherd's hook? Hey, I'm the one that feeds you. Hey! Don't ignore me. I think I get kids' ministry now. Fine. I love you. You ever wondered why Jesus called us a sheep? Kind of a bitter pill to swallow, huh? If we were to closely examine our lives, look at all the messes that we make, how fearful we are, how fickle and wayward we can. Well, if I can just put it bluntly, how dumb we can be. We are sheep. Yeah. Sheep. That's about right. But thankfully, God sent us a good shepherd. Someone who will be gentle with us when we are far from home. Someone who will be firm when he needs to be. Doesn't it say everything that God picked shepherds to send the good news of Jesus' birth? And that right there should remind us of his shepherding ways right off the bat. That first Christmas, it was a sign of peace with God for all eternity. And our shepherd, he paid the price for that peace. The highest price. I don't know about you, but this Christmas, it means so much to me that I have a good shepherd.
Many scholars believe that if sheep had not been domesticated, they'd probably be extinct by now, because thousands of years ago they became, they're dumb. Need so much care, they need much attention and leadership to succeed in their life. And honestly, if we, as they mentioned in the video, if we stop and assess ourselves, we can see how we can be a lot like sheep sometimes in our lives as well. We can be pretty, shall I say, stubborn. We can be, okay, I'll make it a little easier. We can be really slow learners sometime, can't we? We make the same mistakes over and over. We wander off course. We need help figuring out where to go next. What to do, where to go. We just need that kind of help. We qualify as sheep in a lot of ways and in so many areas of our life. The choices we know are wrong, we just do them anyway. Indicates we are like sheep. The same arguments we have with our spouse, even though it didn't work last time because we're doing the same dumb stuff we did before, it shows us we're like sheep. The patterns we do, spending money that we don't have to these people we don't even like to, you know, do whatever. And, you know, it shows we're a lot like sheep. Do you know why 50% of people, 50% of Americans, I'm going to say, make New Year's resolutions and only 10% keep them? It's because we are like those undisciplined sheep. And do you know when sheep thrive? It's when they have a shepherd who loves them like crazy, lives with them, leads them, guides them, protects them, provides for them. That is when a sheep will thrive. When this shepherd is with his sheep, he fulfills trust in them. He provides trust. He builds trust with them in such a way that just the sound of a shepherd's voice caused the sheep to be at peace. I have one more video for you. I want to show before he shows it. I just want to tell you this video is about this true story. They did an experiment and they called this video, "Do Sheep Only Hear the Shepherd's Voice?" Go ahead, Randy. Nope, other video. Keep going. Click again. Go past it. So go ahead and go past John there a second. We'll just maybe have to come back a minute, but go ahead and do this. No, that's not the right one. This video right there. Now go. Now play.
One more time.
Oh, one.
That was good.
Shepherd is with the sheep, he builds trust with them. And in such a way that they just the sound of his voice, they follow. As the video showed. If you have tried, sheep just didn't move. And then also he just mentioned, bah, and I know they're off and running. And the reason is that God, that the good shepherds take care of all the inadequacies of things, and they lead them to the second half of Psalm 23:1, which says, I shall not want. I shall not want because I am so well taken care of by my shepherd. I shall not want because he leads me where it's best for me. I shall not want because since I know the good shepherd's voice and because his sheep hear and know his voice, I lack nothing. When the Lord is your shepherd, you will not be left wanting. You won't be. Why? Because he is a good shepherd. That means God will provide for you and everything that you need, not everything you want, everything you need. If you're willing to follow him and follow his lead. Jesus talks about himself as the shepherd to sheep relationship and dynamic at the disciples in John 10 verses 7 to 15. And then these words are where Jesus specifically identifies himself as the good shepherd. Look what it says in 7 through 15 of John chapter 10. Hope you have that. That's good. All right. So Jesus went over it again. I speak to you eternal truth. I am the gate for the flock. All those who broke in before me are thieves who came to steal, but the sheep have never listened to them. I am the gateway to enter through me to experience life, freedom, and satisfaction. A thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overthrow. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd who lays down my life as a sacrifice for the sheep. But the worker who serves only for wages is not a real shepherd because he has no heart for the sheep. He will run away and abandon them when he sees the wolf coming. And then the wolf mauls the sheep, drives them off and scatters them. I alone am the good shepherd, and I know those whose hearts are mine, for they recognize me and know me. Just as my Father knows my heart and I know my Father's heart, I am ready to give my life for the sheep. And as the good shepherd lays down his life for a sheep, that was actually talked about in Isaiah a long time before Jesus ever came about. Look what Isaiah talks about in verse 50, chapter 53. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep. We all what? Like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. That passage in Isaiah is known as the suffering servant passage. It foreshadows what the good shepherd Jesus would go through for you and I to make provision for us wandering sheep. It's a passage leading to peace for those who find themselves lost, in trouble, on their own, and outside of what they were created to be. By the way, that being cared for, provided for, protected by the shepherd. Jesus articulated how a good shepherd lays down his life for a sheep. That's precisely the mission Jesus was born to do and to accomplish. Precisely it. He ultimately would go all the way to the cross to lay down his life to rescue us from everything that separated us from God and gave us the opportunity to come right back into right relationship with the Father. That's why he did it. So that we might know him more deeply, understand him better, love him all the more. Jesus came and gave the best of everything so we could be reconciled back to God through our repentance for the disobedience and sin that was in our life. That blinded us from receiving God's mercy and grace and peace that passes all understanding. And our good shepherd not only secured our eternity for laying down his life, but also leads us to provision and places of peace that we not normally have, because he is that kind of God. The peace that in our lives right now as we follow him in faith. That's the remaining verses of, that's what the remaining verses of Psalm 23 convey. They speak of what happens when we know the Lord as our good shepherd. Not just our, as our Savior as well, but as our good shepherds, our good fathers. I mean, there's so many things that encompass God. Amen? Well, all the other verses of Psalm 23 portray various aspects of what happens when a shepherd leads his sheep. Let's focus our remaining attention today on verse 2. It says this: He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. It's comprised of two parts. The first, he makes me lie down in green pastures. By nature, sheep are unsettled, skittish, a little bit afraid. That's just the nature. They're a little nervous. Do you know when a sheep will lie down? They'll lie down when they are confident that a shepherd is with them and watching over them. That's when they'll lie down. If sheep are fearful, if they're at odds with other sheep, if they're dealing with the pests that are irritating them, if they're feeling unsettled due to hunger, they will not lie down. They will not, they'll have difficulty at least lying down. Aren't you and I a little the same way? You know, we get offended by what someone said, or by, you know, some, what we may have said even. You know, we get a little, like, I can't believe I said that. And we go through the process and we get a little unsettled and we have a hard time lying down to rest. You also know that when sheep are around running water, they get afraid. They don't like fast moving streams. That's why a shepherd, a good shepherd, will make sure he's got enough food and water for the flock so that he can feed and water them. That's the second part of verse 2. He leads me beside quiet waters or still waters. Part of the nature and character of a good shepherd is that he leads his sheep. I love that. Notice it doesn't say it says he leads me beside quiet waters. It doesn't say he, let me put it this way. Doesn't drive them. You drive cattle, you don't drive sheep. You lead sheep. Sheep aren't driven. They must know the shepherd's voice and be able to trust the shepherd. Once they do, sheep will follow their shepherd like they did in the video because they know the person that puts them on green pastures. They are the ones that, you know, take care of them, provide for them, help them, walk with them, teach them, lead them, show them. That's, they understand the shepherd's voice. So they follow the shepherd. This is the one who doesn't make me try to, you know, drink from a fire hydrant of water streams. He gives me down, he leads me beside still or quiet waters. The shepherd is key to removing these difficult, challenging circumstances that life throws at the sheep. He allows me to drink from still waters. He leads me beside to, he leads me to green pastures. He shows me what's best for me. He doesn't put me in danger of drinking and being thrown downstream because the water's too rough. That's not a good shepherd. My shepherd, I can trust him because he leads me beside quiet waters and helps me walk through the process of time. Philip Keller, an East African shepherd with a lifetime of experience in this field, came to the realization of how important the shepherd to sheep relationship really was. He said this, "In the course of time, I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep as to see me in the field. The presence of their master and owner and protector put them at ease as nothing else could do. And this applied day and night. He understood that when he's there with them, they feel more at ease. Here's the good news. Our good shepherd is with us. He's there with us. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is right there walking through it with me. It doesn't say he's going to take us out of that necessarily right away, but he's going to walk through it with us as we get to learn life and all things. He's going to walk it through and take care of us and help us do what he needs to do. And so the same sentiment of this, what Phil Coe said, is the same sentiment is true about our relationship with Jesus, our good shepherd. His presence in our life has the same effect on us as followers, as sheep do with their shepherd. He brings peace and confidence that it is okay to lay down and rest in green pastures. It is okay to lay down because he is with us, taking care of us. He's walking through every situation with us. That's how good our shepherd is. And perhaps that is what Jesus, your good shepherd, wants you to be know about this Christmas. He's present with you. He's near you. You can count on him to lead you to those green pastures where you can lie down on the inside of your soul and rest. He leads you beside those still waters where you can drink deeply without fear of being washed away with the anxiety of life's currents. His leadership in your life is, as your good shepherd, is towards places where you can know you can have security and provision in who he is through his death, his burial, his birth, his resurrection, all that, what he did for us. And the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. To have the hope, the faith, the trust for our salvation to begin with. It is then we finally find our peace. That is contained in him. His peace offered to us through his birth, leading ultimately to our salvation as part of the wonder of Christmas. Joy to come. Let me close today with some scriptures that talk about his peace. But before I do that, I want to invite you to invite someone else to come back next week and hear about the wonder of his joy. But now look at these verses. Psalm 4:6, it says this. In peace, back up one. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. You alone. I know I can trust you because you're my good shepherd. You alone help me walk in peace. Psalm 29:11. The Lord gives strength to his people. Lord blesses his people with. You need peace? Trust in him. Lean not in your own understanding, but always acknowledge him and he directs your path. He leads you beside still waters. He leads you in the green pastures of life. He blesses, he does everything he needs to do. Isaiah 26:12 says, Lord, you established peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. You have done nothing on your own. It's in him we live and move and have our being. He's the one that has helped you accomplish what you've done through life. John 14:27 says this, I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world, but my perfect peace. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. He told us before, and this world you'll suffer persecution, you'll have troubles, but take heart, I've overcome the world. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the good shepherd we have. Colossians 3:15. Let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One, who called you to the peace as part of his one body, and always be thankful. Stop there from always. Always be thankful. Now we just finished Thanksgiving. Great time to be thankful. But it doesn't say be thankful during November 25th of every year. They didn't have Thanksgiving back then, man. It's like when Paul wrote this, there wasn't like a day set aside for Thanksgiving. Some president did that, made that. But he said, always be thankful. Paul, when he went through persecution, he says, I'm thankful in my persecution. Really, Paul? See, sometimes we're not thankful enough. We take God for granted sometimes. And Paul said, listen, always be thankful. It's so vital that we just, you can be thankful in every situation. I'm not saying you be thankful for the situation, but you be thankful in the situation. There's a difference. Huge difference. You know, I'm not thankful when bad things happen, but I can still find thankfulness because I have a God that loves me and I love him, and he can walk me through the valley that I'm going through right now, because I can just know that I can be thankful in it right now, because it's gonna produce in me something that's good. He works all things out for good to those who love him, and if you love him, he'll produce good things. It's just what he does. And so we need to learn to be grateful in all things. I have two more scriptures I want to do before I do that. I want to just pray for a moment. This is going to be our closing prayer. And I want these last two scriptures to be like sort of a doxology, if you will, as we leave today, as we depart. So, Father, I thank you that you are the good shepherd. I thank you that, God, we can come before you and know that you give a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, we just lay all our anxieties, all our worries, all our problems, everything, we lay at the foot of the cross today. We just walk away, God, knowing that you'll give peace in every situation, every heart, God. I just want you to give a fresh sense of peace. Lord, that you walk in a way that helps us to walk and talk to us in a way, God, helps us to walk like you have us to do. That we just trust in you, God, not our own hearts, not our own lives. God, we trust in you with everything. We know that you lead us by still waters. You help us lay down on green pastures. We don't have to be afraid. We know the wolves are not going to attack us when we got a shepherd watching over us. And you are the good, 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 good shepherd. So Father, have your way in our lives today, God. Draw us in peace, closer to you, God, to walk in your and the ways that you have us to walk. Live as you have us to live, God. Do what you have us to do, God. Lead where you want us to go. And Lord, we will follow because we know that you have our best interest at heart. And Lord, I give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Now my last two. Second Thessalonians 3:16 says this. Now may the Lord himself, the Lord of peace, pour into you his peace in every circumstance, in every possible way, for his tangible presence be with you all. The church said,
amen.
One more. Romans 15, verse 13. Now may God, the inspiration and foundation of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in Him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with a superabundance until you radiate with hope. And the church said,
amen.
And amen. And amen. Join us next week to continue the wonder of Christmas.